Welcome to Comic Culture here on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, now also podcast on comicbookdaily.com. I'm your co-host, Walter Duralia, joined as always by my illustrious co-host, Chris Owen, professor of comic history at Hamilton's Mohawk College. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Walter, how are you today?
Fine, thanks.
Excellent. Well, you know, Walter, today is a very special day today because we have a guest guest listener. I guess she is a listener. She does listen to the show. I'd like to introduce the manager of Big B Comics. Miss Laura Thomas is here in the studio today.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you guys tonight?
We are doing great.
We are doing great.
More importantly, how are you doing?
Fantastic. I'm happy to be here.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, Laura, you know, I think you're going to have a great show with us today, and we're just going to do a quick rundown of our usual things. We're going to talk about some new comics and all that kind of stuff. Then we're going to get into talking a little bit about more about you, but you're more than welcome to interject at any time.
At any time, Laura.
All right, I plan on
Except now.
Except not right now.
Okay. Laura, we always start the show with today's new releases, today being Wednesday, and I'm going to touch upon a few. Miss Marvel number 48 hits the stands today.
Miss Marvel number 48.
Yeah. You know, Miss Marvel versus Mystique today, guys.
Oh, you know what? That just sounds like a great cat fight. You know?
It's, yeah, tell me about
it. Wow. Like, it sounds amazing.
You read Miss Marvel?
Miss Marvel is actually one of my favorite comics. I've heard rumor that it might be getting canceled at issue 50.
No!
Which upsets me a fair bit. I quite enjoy the character.
That's not good. Now, of course, you're probably too young to remember the old Miss Marvel, where it was like, you know, with the funky hairdo, like the afro kind of, you know, blonde hairstyle.
Well, it was before my time, but I've definitely gone back and checked out the old storylines through the graphic novels and trades.
Oh, very good. Hey, and now you said Mystique, right?
Yes.
Mystique, where now maybe you know this, Laura, was Mystique not where Ms. Marvel, or sorry, Mystique first appeared in Ms. Marvel?
Yes,
in issue number 14.
No, 16, 17, 18.
Okay, you are right.
Yes, you are right.
Yeah, all right.
Reunited.
So this is a complete. This is like a yes. You know, yeah, this is great. Complete reunion.
Well,
yeah.
Ms. Marvel fans rejoice. Number 48. Hopefully, it keeps going and doesn't stop at 50. Thunderbolts, number 139, hits the stands today. Thunderbolts.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
139.
I thought it would have been canceled by then.
Well, at least 138 issues ago.
And no. Well, it's a popular title.
Wow.
You know what? Now, correct me if I'm wrong. About a year ago, wasn't Thunderbolts the first time Obama really appeared in a comic?
Yes, there was some sort of issue with that, because he appeared in like a panel in the background or something.
Yeah, like I think 128
yeah,
or something
yeah, yeah.
like that.
He wasn't like on the cover,
no.
like he was with Amazing Spider-Man.
Right.
But he did appear in that. But he also appeared in an issue of Savage Dragon as well.
You're right. Savage Dragon 137.
So there's going to be some controversy as to what is Obama's first appearance.
Right. Well, Thunderbolts 139 hits the stands today. Marvel fans, Thunderbolts fans. Now, Thunderbolts, that's the team of villains?
Team of villains, yeah that's right.
And Osborn, it's really connected to the Dark Reign.
Yes, and the villains are all supposedly reformed villains that are trying to go
straight. Of course they are.
Of course they are.
With a little influence from some security technology.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because I actually don't read it, and maybe I'm wrong here, but isn't it Norman Osborn that is sort of like the head of the whole Thunderbolts thing?
He took over quite a while ago, yes.
Now, when he took over, didn't he also take over like that whole, like, you know, when the Dark Reign, the Dark Avengers
well,
thing?
Well, yeah, what he, the Prez thinks he's the big hero or something like that after the whole, Secret Invasion.
Right.
So, and that's the whole Dark Reign premise,
right?
Is that they've got the wrong guy. He's really evil.
Right.
And so this is where it's all coming to a head now.
Right, okay.
Everyone seems to have forgotten that he's a psychopath, a Green Goblin, but I'm sure we'll get back to that at some point.
Except us.
We're onto him. You know, why doesn't Marvel listen to us?
Yes.
Seriously. That's what I want to know.
Hey. X-Factor number 200 hits the stands today as well. X-Factor number 200.
Well, you know, the original run of X-Factor was amazing. I think it had a few years where it wasn't so great. But, you know, clearly the fans love it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be going this far.
You're right. X-Factor. You know what? Any Marvel X title.
Yeah, basically. You know what? But there was a time there where if you put X in front of anything, it was selling. Because it was meant mutants and weirdness and all that kind of stuff.
And everybody likes weirdness.
Absolutely.
I think the weirdness is relatable to a lot of people.
Yeah,
I think maybe
point.
That's what
Absolutely.
Draws people in.
Absolutely.
JLA number 49, jumping on to the DC side today. JLA number 49 hits the stands today. Still on that Blackest Night thing.
Right,
massively successful. Now, Laura, you help me out here. The Blackest Night thing had a thing where you get rings.
Yes, with a certain Blackest Night tie-in titles, you could get a free ring. We had every
different
color
colors,
of
right?
the spectrum, of the color spectrum, and each one represents a different emotion and a different power.
A different emotion.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but the black ring was only available at certain places, like I think a comic convention or something like that.
It was being given away at Fan Expo this year in August. And the
Toronto Fan Expo.
Yeah,
right.
And I know a lot of fans were able to pick them up there.
Cool.
Were they selling on eBay like a week later or something?
Yeah.
I didn't see any, but I'm sure you can find them
now. $4,000 for a black ring.
That's right. Now, the funny part about that is I was talking to Mark at Big B, and he was saying that... I forget the titles. There's some really weak-ass DC titles that normally you'd sell like eight.
I'm not so sure you can say the word weak-ass on the radio.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So are you.
Oh, yeah.
Now, and all of a sudden, you know, you get the turquoise ring with this,
whatever it is,
weak-ass title. And
hey, please quit saying that.
Okay.
Quit saying the W-A phrase.
Anyway, and now we're selling like 60 copies of the stupid
thing.
Which, in other words, Laura, this is like a hit, right?
The rings are a hit, and it's not just the rings, but each of these issues does tie in to an important factor of the Blackest Night storyline.
Right.
So without reading them, you might be missing part of the story, so people want to pick them up even without the rings.
Sure.
Okay. So
Very cool.
In other words, you've proven me wrong.
Now, Laura, I just want to point out something here very quickly. Walt always talks about Marvel Comics first and then DC Comics. I think he has a bit of a thing for the Marvel Comics more so than the DC Comics.
A predisposition is like what I like to call it.
Predisposition, right. I think he's in love with them.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Well, listen, I do mention DC because they're also the big wig, important part of the formula. Now, I'm going to end it with Superman Batman number 67.
Cool.
Is out today. Now, what I want to talk about that is, when that came out, Superman Batman, that was like the big thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That was, I think, the biggest selling DC title.
For sure,
For a good 10, 12, 15 issues.
Yes.
What happened? Did it just...
You know what? I think it got... There was a few storylines that got really kind of confusing. There was a... I remember there was a Bizarro, like a Bat-Zarro, Superman Bizarro storyline that was really confusing to a lot of people just because of the way it was written. You didn't really understand what these characters were talking about because it was written as if they were talking in Bizarro language.
Right.
And I think that kind of threw people off. Then there was a really solemn, I believe it was Jeff Loeb's son passed away, and that issue was dedicated, the issue number 25,
was dedicated
to him. And that sort of really kind of, it didn't put a damper on things, but it was like, wow, there's something more to this comic than really, it's no longer light and fun anymore. And so that kind of, I don't want to say put a damper on things, but made things hit a little too close to home.
Yeah.
And then a new writer took over and a new artist, because before then it was Jeff Loeb and Ed McGuinness, and it was really cool, a lot of fun.
A good team.
Great team.
And that's the formula that was working. You switch it.
And then they switch things around a bit. You know, and granted, you know, they were on the book for 2 years, so it's a long time.
You know what? They needed to be on for 10.
But you know what's funny is Public Enemies, which was the first Superman Batman.
Good band.
No, not the band.
Oh.
Not the band with Chuck D.
Yeah, boys.
Bass, how low can you go? It wasn't that one. It was Public Enemies was the name of the storyline, and they've actually made that into a cartoon DVD.
Right.
So obviously they did something right with that storyline and with the characters and everything.
Yes, the movie. I get a lot of good recommendations on that and the graphic novel, the original graphic novel at the store from a lot of customers.
Right. So you know, clearly it's done very well.
All right. Well, it seems to me it's waning lately.
Bass!
Listen, we're going to jump on to some industry news because we got a busy show.
Yes.
Laura, industry news, as you know, is where I surf the net looking for tidbits. Interesting tidbits.
Yes.
So, unfortunately, not always interesting, but hopefully today they're all going to be winners.
I'm curious whether or not our listeners can hear Walt's shuffling of papers on the radio or not.
Yes. Hey, Spider-Man 4 to have Vulture.
Right.
And Vulturess.
Ooh.
Yeah, so the hype is that John Malkovich will play the Vulture.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And Anna Hathaway is going to play Felicia Hardy.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Well, apparently he's supposed to turn into, was it Catwoman? Spider-Woman?
Black Cat. Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently now they're tampering with this whole thing, and there's kind of a little backlash on the internet about this, is that she's supposed to turn into the Vulturess.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Yeah. So the Black Cat is going to become the Vulturess?
I don't know if the Black Cat is going to become the Vulturess, but Felicia Hardaway's character is going to become the Vulturess
now,
in this movie.
Now, I haven't really paid that close of attention to Spider-Man comics in recent years, so Laura, I'm going to ask you a question here.
Okay.
Has there been a Vulturess in the comics that you know of?
No.
Not that I've seen.
So this sounds like it's something like it's more just for the movies.
Yes, and this is why I'm curious as to whether this is just internet hype or if it's something Marvel's actually going to go ahead with, and maybe then we might even see the character in the comic.
Right.
Well, I mean, it came from the website Movie Line, right?
So, okay. You know, well, it's possible.
All right. It's possible. So, it remains to be seen, but I really like Malkovich as...
He's a great actor. You know,
quality actor.
Did you ever see Being John Malkovich?
Yes.
Great movie with...
Cameron Diaz.
That's the one, you know. And that, you know, that's one of the first movies I saw that with her in it that I thought she could actually act.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Hey, other news. Zombieland writer... set to write the Deadpool movie, maybe.
Interesting.
Apparently, the writer's name. Let me scan through the
wealth of information.
I have here. Yeah. Wade Wilson, I guess.
Wade Wilson that is the name of Deadpool.
Oh my goodness!
Well, I don't have the writer here when I cut and pasted.
Right, that's okay.
So anyway, the news from Chud is that the Zombieland writers could possibly be writing the Deadpool movie script.
Well, you know, I can see that happening because clearly the Zombieland writers have a bit of a quirky writing feel to them, which is exactly what the Deadpool comic would need.
I have to say, I've seen Zombieland twice in theaters. It is by far the best movie that came out this year as for pure entertainment value from start to finish.
Which one was Zombieland? I missed that.
Woody Harrelson was in it, and it was about zombies.
Oh, okay. Hey, what do you know?
Yeah, you know, I'm just saying. You know,
it was a funny take on what would happen after the world ends if zombies were to take over.
It really wasn't like it wasn't a typical horror movie, and I liked it. I'd like to see more zombies in my zombie movies, but you know, I still enjoyed the movie.
I think it had a humor that would lend itself quite well to a Deadpool character.
Absolutely, absolutely, yes.
My favorite zombie is Chewbacca. listen, yes. Moving on.
Yes.
Chris. Apparently Bruce Wayne returns in April.
Oh, hey, finally, all right.
So a 6-part miniseries called Batman, The Return of Bruce Wayne will be launched in April, written by Grant Morrison.
Oh, very good. Okay, I like that.
I don't know what's going on. Apparently, each issue will have a different artist.
Really?
And according to Morrison, in an interview with USA Today, he says the status quo of the Batman universe will be changed forever after this book. What the hell does that mean?
You know, I'd like to believe that. Yeah. No matter what he's saying, if it were true, I'd like to believe it, but... in comics, nothing ever changes.
Well, he's the guy that killed the darn guy. Yeah. He killed Wayne, which he shouldn't have, in my opinion.
I agree.
And now, all of a sudden, he's coming back?
Well, with the whole Blackest Night storyline, a lot of our favorite dead superheroes have been coming back, so it might be a segue.
Name one. You don't know?
Many, many, many of them.
Right.
Oh.
There's too many to name on the show.
Yes, all right. I think the problem was when you said favorite. Yeah. Right, yeah, that's what I thought. She's giving me a look right now as if she wants to like gouge my eyes out, by the way, fans.
All right, well, listen.
I'm much nicer than that.
What I don't like is this seesawing of Bruce Wayne now. Now, what's happening here with DC, with Morrison? Is Morrison reconsidering? What's going on? Is this part of the continuity? I don't know, right?
Yeah,
I mean, is like, what's going to happen to Dick Grayson here? Is this an Elseworlds thing? I'm not sure.
It's not going to be an Elseworlds thing. It's going to end up being that he's going to come back, and it'll be as if nothing ever happened. That's probably what's going to happen. That's going to be the bottom line in this whole storyline. Just like when they broke Batman's back years ago in the whole Breakdown Saga or whatever it was called. I can't remember now. The same thing's going to be happening now, because back then, Batman was away from the comics for a bit, or Bruce Wayne was. So Azrael took over. Now it's going to be Batman's coming back, and it's going to be as if nothing happened.
You know, I do think they might change some things, not maybe for Batman's character, but Nightwing's character, Dick Grayson. I've heard so many positive reviews of him as Batman that a lot of people want him to have a bigger role than just as Nightwing as a sidekick, but they want him to take on a bigger role now.
I think that would be fantastic. I would love it if somehow they made Dick Grayson into Batman, but I don't think the fans would like that.
Right. But now Dick Grayson is Batman, though, now, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I meant permanently.
Oh. He's kind of a fill-in for now.
Oh, okay.
Because Gotham needs a Batman.
So what you're saying, Laura, is that once Wayne comes back, you or a lot of the Batman fans won't want to see Dick Grayson relegated back down to, let's say, Nightwing status.
Yes.
Yeah.
They want him to stay at a higher status than he is.
Can there be two Batmans?
I don't see why not. A lot of people who are in like Gotham City citizens and villains think there are more than one Batman as it is.
Oh,
maybe that's what Grant Morrison is planning. Maybe that's how it'll change the face of comics forever.
Ah, I see.
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun. Dun, dun, dun.
All right. Hey, listen, some sad news.
Uh-oh.
Well, sad, not in terms of sad, but in terms of, boy, this is real sad.
Oh.
$20 million heist of Frazetta artwork.
Ooh.
You know, the museum. Now, we know a couple guys that have been down. I think it's in Pennsylvania.
It is in Pennsylvania.
But Frank Frazetta, by the way, probably the 20th century's greatest illustrator of fantasy art.
Yes, perfect way of saying it.
Yeah,
yes, absolutely.
Most people know him from the Conan covers of the books from the 60s and stuff. Apparently, some people broke into his museum, took 90 pieces or something, valued at $20,000. Arrested was Alfonso Frank Frazetta, the son of Frank Frazetta.
No way.
Yes.
You're
kidding. Him and a couple of guys were taking a backhoe to the back of the building.
Right.
Okay.
Gate entrance.
Oh, no.
And they took the art. Like, what the heck happened there? I mean,
Like, you know,
couldn't wait for the old man to die?
I guess. Maybe it's been willed into an estate. Maybe he found out he wasn't getting anything.
Right,
But you said 90 pieces?
Something like that. 90 paintings were loaded onto a vehicle. And then taken away, and then the police caught it later, and they returned
it. Holy cow! So, you know, Frank Frazetta doesn't usually sell his artwork.
Yeah.
As far as I know, there's only like a few people alive that own original Frank Frazetta pieces.
Right.
Like George Lucas is one of them. Like,
right.
That kind of thing.
Right.
So.
Now, apparently, he's suffering dementia now. He's 82 years old, Frazetta.
Right.
And so, I mean, who knows? But, I mean, it's sad to see. I mean, here you go. The son of one of the greatest artists.
Oh,
breaking into his own dad's
That's brutal. Flipping. That's brutal. Yeah.
Not good news.
No, not at all.
Oh, Chris and Laura, Monday, they introduced the gold sponsors for next year's Free Comic Book Day.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Always our favorite day of the year.
Always.
And do we know some of these sponsors?
Yeah. Dark Horse will be putting out something called Doc Solar and Magnus.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
So those are the old characters from the old Gold Key comics, right?
Yeah. They were old Gold Key.
Yeah.
And then in the 90s, they were both resurrected by
Valiant.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah.
And then they went the way of the Dodo Bird. And then I think DC picked them up. Sorry, Dark Horse picked them up.
Yeah.
And I guess they're trying to push those two franchises. And I'm not sure if it's going to be a flip book or not. But
you know, I got to give props and kudos to Dark Horse, because a lot of companies merely do reprints of books that they've already sold out or sold very well throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
And Dark Horse seems to always publish something that's brand new material just for Free Comic Book
Day.
Right.
And I think the other publishers are starting to catch on to that trend too. This year's Free Comic Book Day had a lot of very good new material from the big publishers.
Yeah, you're right.
That's
right,
good.
It was good. DC's putting out War of the Supermen. number zero.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So a Superman title.
Now I wonder if that's going to be some sort of kickoff to a War of the Superman series or storyline that's going to be coming in the near future.
Well, the last Free Comic Book Day, they put out Blackest Night number zero, which kicked off the whole Blackest Night series.
And the tagline is featuring all new material previewing the conflicts to come.
Right. But you know what? Hey, nothing wrong with that. I have no problem with that.
No, that's good.
If it's new material, I think it's great.
That's good. Marvel. Guess what Marvel's putting out? Okay, movies. A couple of big movies from Marvel.
I'm going to guess an Iron Man type tie-in.
Iron Man Thor.
Oh! How did I guess?
Yes. And so that's good. And you know that's going to be well received.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now,
that's good.
When is the... Now, Free Comic Book Day is May 1st.
Is it the actual 1st of May this year?
Saturday falls on the 1st, because it's always the 1st Saturday in May.
Okay.
When is the movie releases? They
usually come out the same. The Marvel always puts out a new movie the same weekend as Free Comic Book Day.
Free Comic Book Day, yeah. We don't know which, I forget. It's either Iron Man or one of, I think Iron Man.
It's Iron Man, I believe, yes.
Yeah, cool. Okay, it comes out that week. So Marvel's timed it right, and I think Marvel's, I don't know if, like, they're usually the ones that go the most at the store, aren't they not? Or?
It really depends. Right now, DC's got the biggest title selling right now. It would be Blackest Night, followed very closely by Batman and Robin.
Yeah, you're right.
Right, cool.
Got me there.
Very good.
Archie Comics is putting out Archie's Summer Special Splash.
Oh!
Whose beach is it anyway? Anyway, so it's almost anticlimactic with Archie. What are you going to do with Archie now?
You know, who's he marrying now?
I was going to ask, I have to say I'm really not up on my Archie titles these days. Have they figured out, did he actually marry Veronica? Did he marry Betty? What's going on with all that?
It's an imaginary story. He walks down a future memory lane to decide what he thinks he should do in life. And I'm sure at the end of the last issue of this story arc, he's going to go, you know what? I can't decide just yet. They're both too wonderful.
That's so cute. Wow.
Well, you know what? That's one way of keeping the franchise alive, right?
Yes, it is.
It certainly got people back into Archie, which is nice to see.
Absolutely.
Hey, David Deep of Comic Book Daily.
Okay.
He emailed me with a great link to a story they got on the front page on a comic store in Tel Aviv, Israel.
Come on, really?
Called Comics and Vegetables.
Comics and Vegetables. Yeah. Is that what they're selling?
Apparently, but the thing is, they got a nice spread on the business on the website, and apparently, the phrase "comics and vegetables" or "hats and vegetables" in Hebrew means et cetera, et cetera.
It's like a phrase and more.
They were actually, this store was actually a top 4 finalist for this year's Eisner Awards.
Oh, come on! Seriously?
Yeah, this is
great. No way!
Retailing.
That's
so
amazing.
So check out their spread on comicbookdaily.com.
I will, for sure.
And that is it for
Well, that's good. You've taken up more than enough time.
Thanks, Chris.
We've really got to start talking to Laura here about what she does at Bigby Comics and as the manager of the store. And so I just want to know, like, how did you get involved in working there?
Mostly for a love of comics. It started at an early age. You mentioned the X-Men titles back in the 90s, how they were so huge. And with the X-Men cartoon, I just dove right in.
You started reading X-Men when you were a
X-Men
kid.
X-Men was the first one for me, and it kind of grew from there.
And which character?
Yeah, I was going to say, did you have a crush on one of them?
Gambit.
I knew it.
I'm a Gambit girl all the way.
So did you. Remember you were telling
me? It's because he's a bad boy and he's got that accent.
Gambit. On the cartoon.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
I was going to say, how do you read an accent?
Well, I suppose you could.
I guess.
Yeah. Once you've heard the voice in the cartoon, that's
then
what you
always
hear.
Read it.
Right.
Okay, so you started with X-Men.
Yeah.
And then you try to sample other comics?
Definitely. A lot of, I like the female characters, like Miss Marvel we mentioned earlier. Rogue and how she and Miss Marvel tie in so well.
Okay, now I gotta ask you. Now, obviously, you're female. I know.
Yes, I believe so.
Yes. Now,
glad you noticed.
Well, I did, as a matter of fact. Yeah, I know she was different from men. So
yes.
But anyways, do you think it's easier now for women to get involved in comics or harder, or what's your take on that? And when I say involved, I mean like as a reader.
I think it's a lot easier now. Just a lot of the female characters are very strong, independent women. Unfortunately, the one thing I've seen as a downside is most female-centric storylines don't last as long as I'd like. Like I said, I heard a rumor about Miss Marvel getting canceled.
Yeah.
You tend to have to go towards team-based titles such as The Avengers, Justice League, X-Men before you're going to be able to find a lot of strong female characters.
But they're tied into a team, right?
Yes.
That's your beef, right? They don't have a strong...
Yeah, like they do get their own titles fairly often, but they don't last as long as they should.
Right. Now, years ago, when I was working at a comic book store, and I'm talking long, long time ago, rarely did we see females come into the store. It was almost like an enigma. It was like something that never happened.
Right.
Now,
did you guys stutter when they walked in?
Absolutely. There's your comic books, ma'am. Oh, I don't know what to do.
Okay.
Do you find that the storylines are more accessible to women now, or how? Like, what is it about things, and what has changed?
I think it's about the women being, like, even in the teams, they become focused on. Recently, there was an X-Men storyline going on right now that is highly centric on Emma Frost and the trouble she's going through, and it's very strong. They don't need to be rescued by a man. The new Avengers Annual was all about women rescuing a man.
Oh, right. Very cool. Very good. Very cool. Right. Now, sorry, go ahead.
No, the whole... How can I say this? The whole... Like, are there other things... Now, maybe women walking in aren't driven to the superheroes. Like, I know at our store, right, Laura, a lot of the females walking in are reading non-superhero stuff, manga, for
Definitely
example.
Definitely the manga. Yeah. That's hugely popular among women. Both manga tends to be centered towards boys, which is shonen, and shoujo, which is for girls. And
now, shoujo, sorry to interject, shoujo, most of them are romance-driven.
They tend to have a romance storyline or subplot at the very least, but a lot of the ones for boys have a romance plot as well.
Very good, yep.
But the girls tend to go for both, I find, equally. They like the shonen and the shoujo just about equally.
Okay.
Very cool. sorry. Now, when you first started going into comic book stores, did you feel intimidated at all? Or I think that, like, from what I've seen, the whole acceptance of comics as a genre has helped women accept comics as a medium to get involved in as well. Would you agree? Or?
Definitely. When I was younger and I'd go to Big B or other comic book stores, I always was with a group of friends, never on my own. but I found, like you said, Chris, as more movies are coming out and it's becoming more and more accepted, you talk about comics with a group of people, everyone knows what you're talking about, at least at some level, like, because everyone's seen Spider-Man, Batman, you know?
Now, how has Buffy changed the playing field at comic shops in the sense of, has it brought, you know, new females into comic stores that wouldn't normally be in comic stores?
I definitely think so. Buffy's huge. It's a great way because people find it ended too soon as a TV show, so you can get season 8 now in comic book form.
Yeah.
But it definitely does as well with men as it does women.
Okay. All right.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, what's interesting is, you know, when you say you collect comics, I mean, most of the time women did seem to get involved with X-Men first, but now it seems like a lot of women are getting involved with like manga and things like that.
Yes.
So if somebody wanted to come in who's never read a comic before, maybe has sort of an inkling about it, is there something that you would recommend that they might be interested in?
Definitely there's a few that I recommend to all people who come in the store. Brian K. Vaughan's Why the Last Man, I think, is
excellent
something
book.
That
excellent
everyone
excellent
should book. Read at some point. Definitely an 18-plus series, but very well done. It's getting turned into a movie.
Yep.
Yes.
I quite enjoyed the Runaway series, also by Vaughn, and then Joss Whedon, who did Buffy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's another one I recommend. Bone is great for all ages and for every reader. And it doesn't necessarily have to be superhero-centric.
A lot of people, that's what I was getting at.
Lot of people like things that are different. I quite enjoy books about zombies.
Right,
Walking
right.
Dead, I pick up every month.
Absolutely. Well, it seems like the the openness of comic books as a medium has really opened the eyes to a lot of people in general. Unlike, you know, when I think when you and I were first doing this stuff. But unfortunately, we've run out of time once again.
Already, Chris?
Already, Walt.
Oh, no.
I just want to say thank you very much, Laura, for coming into the studio today.
Yes,
we
you,
really
Laura.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much for having me. I had a lot of fun.
Well, I'm glad you did. And you know what? Hopefully, we're going to get lots of responses. And of course, we want you to email us at chris.owen@mohawkcollege.ca or mailbox@bigbcomics.com. Go support your local comic book retailer and have yourself a great day.
See everybody next week.